First, I'd like to thank organizers for inviting me to this very interesting workshop. Today, I'd like to talk about some sort of thermodynamical properties of entanglement entropy for excited state. We are particularly considering some theory at the critical point or conformal field theory and consider its their excited states and try to find some universal property of entanglement entropy. So this talk is based on these three papers with Bacharya, who is a postdoc in IPMU in Tokyo University, and my student Nozaki and Ugaji, who is a graduate student in Ikawa Institute, and also Numasawa, who is also a graduate student. And Jensia Tieti is a postdoc in Ikawa Institute. So let me begin with the introduction. But motivation of this talk is very simple. It's we'd like to understand some relation between information and energy. So as we all know, that the first law of thermodynamics basically tells us that the entropy is related to energy and its coefficient is the temperature. So we have temperature times information, increased amount of information is equal to energy. So this is true for this thermodynamics, and if the system is at the thermodynamic equilibrium. But it is quite natural to ask are there any analogous relation in a more generic situation which are far from the equilibrium. And so motivated by this question, we'd like to just simply, naively expect the following kind of equality. So here I took some entropy which measures information. Of course, the thermodynamical entropy cannot be used here. We can, for example, consider some pure state at zero temperature. But then we can still define entropy, so-called entanglement entropy. We just write EE. And we have some total system which is a pure state, but we trace out some system which is a complement of A. So we only pick up reduced density matrix for this region A, and we forget about other region and trace out. Then we can define this entanglement entropy, SA. And we are considering some excitation of the theory which increases the amount of entanglement entropy also. And there are some coefficients, and they are related to this increased amount of energy in this region, in this region F, which we call A. So if this is true, this is somehow very analogous to this first law of thermodynamics. And at the same time, this relates this entanglement entropy, which is thought to be very difficult to measure, to some simple physical quantity, which is just energy. So this is closely related to the question, how can we observe this entanglement entropy? And so on. So this is a very naive motivation here. So anyway, we would like to relate some amount of entanglement entropy, which measures information, to some energy in some universal way. Anyway, motivated by this, we'd like to explore some analog of this first law of thermodynamics which is satisfied for this entanglement entropy for excited state. And we especially concentrate on excited state at the critical point, quantum critical point. This is just the reason. The reason for this is just we'd like to apply the ADS CFD correspondence. We can make an argument very simple. And so we can also, I'd like to also mention this application of this entanglement entropy. And so first of all, entanglement entropy is a quite nice quantum order parameter. And to classify various quantum phases, and also we can apply this quantity to non-equilibrium physics, even at zero temperature. So this is true for many subjects, including, I think, it's condensed matter theory and also particle physics and so on. But at the same time, also string theory think the entanglement entropy is quite interesting in the following reason. So this entanglement entropy is a useful bridge between some gravity aspect of the theory and also condensed matter theory or some quantum manifold systems. So in gravity, we know that the system is described by metric, especially classical description by general relativity. We have metric. And also condensed matter system is characterized by ground state wave function. So what is the relation between them? And then one simple way to relate these two quantities is to look at the ADS CFT and consider quantum entanglement. So if we consider entanglement entropy, actually ADS CFT tells us it is some area of some surface. And area is directly related to metric. And also, the wave function, from wave function, we can directly compute this entanglement entropy. So in this way, we can nicely connect between gravity and some ground state wave function in some complicated quantum variable systems. So in this way, so these are three major subjects that are closely related to these days, and this quantum variable systems, which is also, of course, condensed matter physics. Also, it's some quantum field theory, which is important for particle physicists, and also quantum gravity and string theory. They are related to by ADS CFT. And also quantum information theory plays a very important role to understand this quantum entanglement, definition of entanglement entropy or entanglement spectrum. There are a very strong connection. I think I'm not expert on this, but between condensed matter physics and quantum information theory. But at the same time also, is to understand basic nature of quantum gravity, quantum knowledge of quantum information is quite important. For example, black hole information paradox, and also this holographic calculation of this entanglement entropy. This kind of connection is very important these days. So the content of my talk is as follows. I finished the introduction, and I will give a very brief introduction of holographic calculation of this entanglement entropy, and go to the main topic of this talk, which is some sort of first law for entanglement entropy for excited states. And we also mention more further development in this subject. So first, I'd like to quickly mention what is the ADS CFT, which is the best known example of holography. And you have had many times to hear this explanation of ADS CFT, but here I just summarize it. And it is some ADS CFT or holography connects some gravitational theory with non-gravitational theory. So especially in ADS CFT, we consider some gravity theory or quantum gravity or string theory on ADS space-time, anti-Dositta space-time, which has a cosmological constant, a negative cosmological constant. And in my convention, we just call it D plus two dimension. And this is an anti-Dositta space and gravity. And then this is equivalent to some conformal field theory, which lives on the one dimension, lower dimension. It's D plus one dimensional, just Minkowski space-time, flat space-time. And we can simplify this connection by taking some limit, which corresponds to classical limit in the gravity side. After taking classical limit, we just have a general relativity, simple general Einstein's general relativity with the negative cosmological constant, which is everything becomes geometrical. And on the other hand, in this conformal field theory or theory as a critical point becomes strongly interactive. And we have to also take larger limit. Then we have some strongly interactive quantum critical systems. And the ADS CFT claim these two systems are equivalent. And more precisely, so we can look at many physical quantities, correspondence between these two. And basic principle is called bulk to boundary relation, which is equates this gravity partition function equal to conformal field theory partition function. Just partition function is equal to each other. And we can derive many other relations by using this equality. So this is the ADS CFT. Okay, I quickly mentioned the meaning of this extra dimension. So gravity lives on one dimension higher space-time, and this is the ADS metric. Z is this radial direction with extra dimension, and this direction is extra dimension, and this represents the energy scale of the conformal field theory. So we have some quantum field theory, and we have an energy scale, and 1 over Z is the inverse of this coordinate corresponds to the energy scale, or this coordinate z is corresponds to the length scale. This is the standard interpretation of ADS CFT correspondence. And if we put some particle in this curve space-time and measure its energy, if we set this mass of this particle m, then it scales m over z, and this means that energy scale is proportional to 1 over z, roughly speaking. So this is a basic correspondence of this ADS CFT correspondence. And so now I come to this holographic calculation of this entanglement entropy. And this can be computed in a very easy way. So this is the anti-Dositta space-time. And so we have some boundary of ADS space-time. And we expect this boundary, on this boundary, you have some conformal field theory. Some quantum minimal system is realized as the boundary of this anti-Dositta space-time. And we take some time slice, and we divide into two parts by just following the definition of entanglement entropy. We divide subsystem A and B in this way. anyway you like. And this boundary is written in this black curve. And we extend this black curve into the bulk ADS. So it's one dimension higher, and totally this becomes always becomes codimension two surface. This codimension two surface and compute this area. And like black hole entropy, we divide this area by 4g Newton, Newton constant. And we take this minimum amount of that. So there are infinitely many different choices of such extended surfaces, but we particularly look at minimal area surface, which is uniquely fixed. And if we compute this minimal area, so this just gives entanglement entropy in this conformal field theory, quantum minimal system, where this subsystem is defined by this region. Yes.
Not only the subsystem is defined in space, here you have space time.
Okay, yeah, good question. Time is fixed. We can take that t equals zero. And this is the reason for this is because we are implicitly assuming everything is static. And but I will mention in more complicated time dependent case, but later. But this we assume time, static space time, so we can just t equals zero or any other time. And so this is a natural condition, just this surface is ended at this boundary of A, and topologically A and this region should be same, homologous to each other.
So that's a question. I mean, if the space is not compact, and is there a requirement that the region A has to be smaller than the region B?
No.
Okay, so.
So anyway, as we know, so SA equal to SB for pure state. And so even B is very larger, so boundary is always same as this A. Is this okay?
That result I know,
but I understand. Yeah, but anyway, so the rule is very simple. We just take this boundary and take this minimal area surface. So just I just make a few comments, but now, so originally this formula was a conjecture, and which is made by me and Shinsei Liu. But nowadays we have, fortunately, we have general proof of this conjecture formula, and recently worked out by Maldacena and Liu Coates, and quite recently. And but they assume some mild assumption of analysis of this replica method, and also some existence of solution. But I think they are quite natural assumptions. So in that sense, we can say this is not. It's a general proof of this. But I should say this proof only applicable to static space-time. And time-dependent space-time, we have to use different, but cross-related, but different formalism, which I worked with Hubeni and Lampomani, where we pick up not the minimal area, but we pick up extremal surface, which is just a stationary point of area functional, but it's not minimize this area in Lorentzian space-time. So, but anyway, there are such a scheme, but it's not completely proven even now. But yes.
So this proof, then assuming all these assumptions, is it restricted to the CFD point or is it true unit finite density?
Yeah, any situation is fine. There are no restriction to pure ideas and so on. It really works for even for asymptotic flat space time, where we don't know much about holography and so on. It's quite a geometrical argument. So we don't need to restrict the conformal field theory. Yeah, exactly. That's right. So anyway, that formula is also exactly is classical.
Is there any understanding yet of what objects in the bulk of the surface is not allowed to go around in this homology
thing? In this proof, you mean?
No.
So for complicated geometry, we can just use this one to avoid many problems. If we have ground problem, this becomes topological obstruction. So I'll come back to that issue. Yeah, maybe I should say this one. So if we have black hole horizon, so we have some region A here, and we talk about the minimal surface which end on the boundary of this edge, which is in this case just 2 points, and we connect these 2 points by minimal surface or geodesic line. So we have 2 choices, this one. And in John's question, these two guys are different in a topological way. So we have to be careful. And for region A, if we compute SA, we have to use this A, region A should be homologous to this region gamma A. And on the other hand, SB, this B should be homologous to this gamma A. So in that way, these two guys are different.
So
give different, and SA is different from SB, which is consistent with the fact that at final temperature for mixed state, SA is not equal to SB. But for pure ADS, we have some, they are same, and we just, because we have one single topologically, you know, distinguishable pass here. So this, in that sense, this condition is quite important. Also, I'd like to mention, if we have a black hole horizon already see in this picture, so this part is actually just wrapped on the black hole, and this is same as just standard Bekenstein-Hawking black hole entropy, and this is consistent with the fact that in ADS CFT, thermodynamical entropy is just computable as a Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. So this fixes this coefficient, 1/4 g newton. The formula should be analogous to this Bekenstein-Hawking hole. So, and also for conformal Fuseli, we can work out some general behavior of this entanglement entropy. This is just series expansion about cutoff. A is a cutoff, and cutoff A is introduced here as the cutoff of this coordinate Z. Z is a length scale, so we cut it out some very small short lengths, A, cut it by A. We restrict Z is greater than A. So, and as we expand, we have many terms. And if the total dimension is odd, d plus 1 is odd, or space dimension is even, we end up with some constant. And on the other hand, if total space time even dimension or space dimension is odd, then we end up with logarithmic term. And this logarithmic term is just correspond to conformal anomaly. This coefficient is related to conformal anomaly. Coefficient is related to central charge. And this also, on the other hand, this case, it's odd dimensional space time. We have some constant, universal constant, but which is now recently called F function or F. So this also plays a very important role to characterize the degree of freedom of some odd dimensional conformal Fuseli. Okay, so now I come to the one of the main issue of this talk. So we'd like to derive some sort of first law for entanglement entropy of excited state. So I'd like to first explain the setup of this our calculation. So since, as we know, there is area law divergence for entanglement entropy, so you need to subtract this divergence to find nice results. So we just consider some difference between entanglement entropy for some excited state and also just ground state. We just take difference between them. And we particularly look at the ground state, which occurs in some quantum critical point. So in other words, we consider some delta SA. We mainly work on this delta SA. And SA is the entanglement entropy for excited states, and minus this entanglement entropy for ground state. So this is always finite, and because this cancels out this area of divergence. And what we'd like to do is to compare this quantity with total energy, which is included in this region A. This TTT is this energy momentum tensor, and TT component is just energy density. This is just energy density. So this is a holographic calculation. Now we go to ADS CFT, and again we use ADS D plus 2. So we'd like to first ask what is the excited state in ADS CFT correspondence. But here we are talking about quite a generic situation, quite general excitation, but we assume this excitation is very small, which is also related to the limit where we take data, which means small distance limit of this subsystem. They are actually equivalent. So some excited state, and if we excite a system, so this excites some region, which is a low energy region, and high energy region is still same. So this region is just ADS spacetime itself, asymptotical ADS spacetime, but the infrared region is modified a lot. So this modification little in this way, this is a metric of ADS spacetime. But if this F function FZ and ZZ is 1, 1, and 1, then this is just pure ADS, but slightly modified. And we are only look at the region where very close to the boundary, UB region. We look at this region, and we don't care about other part. So the first correction comes from this power, Z to D plus 1. This is same as black hole perturbation, basically. And its coefficient, we just call M, is just mass of the system, ADM mass of the system.
So that first correction is called Einstein gravity, or is
Einstein gravity, yeah. We assume Einstein gravity, yeah. Yes. That's right. And so this M is just some parameter, but it's directly related to the energy density from the dual conformal Fuseli. So we can compute we can compute the holographic energy stress test, and this is the result. So mass of the area space-time is related to just energy of Kaufman fusel, which is quite a natural relation. So this is, up to this point, it's quite universal. We don't have to care about this other collections. Yes?
So what kind of external state is this?
Anything you like, actually.
Right.
Yeah. We don't care, right. Because the details of excitation is actually coming this region, but we are taking a near boundary limit to find this formula. So we don't have to worry about
it. You're assuming it's more or less translation or energy density everywhere. That's the assumption.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So far, yes. But later I come to a more general case, which is inhomogeneous or time dependent. But here, yeah, let's assume this is translated. Yeah, that's a good question.
So not requiring there's an energy state, you just want to take any state.
Any state.
So you're saying, but how do we take it somewhere it's going to produce stuff? That's for some state. May not be an energy.
Right.
But then you have finite density of energy density, right? It's finite.
Finite density.
So that's
also possible.
That's
right? That's right. You can also assume some finite energy, a finite density state. Everything is go to this
I'm
way.
Sorry, I cannot read that. So are you saying you could have a finite amount of
energy? Right. Okay, finite amount. Yeah. If m is finite, its energy density is finite.
No, the total energy.
Total energy. We are assuming some non-compact space. It's infinite in that sense. But you can just naively compactify this region into some by putting some torus. That keeps finite energy. So that issue is not so important here.
No, but if I assume that the space is infinite, then if your system is infinite, then the energy
is infinite.
That's right.
It's not yet extensive energy.
Yeah, right.
So why isn't there extensive entropy eventually as you get to high energy?
Sorry?
Why isn't there extensive
energy? It's energy anyway. This is energy, so it should be extensive.
But the entropy will probably also be extensive.
Yeah, entropy also. Yeah, but the entropy scale is slightly different way as I come back later about that. It depends on entropy. And this includes even for pure state. So that means entropy, standard entropy is zero, right? This includes pure state even. But the entanglement entropy is non-zero. That's what we want to compute.
You're also assuming that whatever this state is, it's not changing in time at this level of description.
Yeah, you're right. But I come back to, it will be mentioned today. That's a very important point, actually. So, but up to the point, I am seeing static space-time and translational invariant vacuum. And so most important assumption is this one. And we just take this subsystem size is very small, very, very small. So that this is satisfied. So energy density is small or L is very small. So you can, choose either one. Anyway, we have to always assume this condition. And then we can immediately show from this area CFT this condition, this relation between this delta SA and delta EA, this energy increased amount of energy, just the excited energy, and the delta SA is like this one, and the ground state is correspond to pure area, so we subtract it.
But let me ask the question again, which confused me, because now let me take the region A very small, but I'm allowed to take region B very large, and SA is equal to SB.
Yeah.
And the energy density is the same in B as A.
Energy density, but in that case, we cannot apply this argument. We always talk about the smaller one. We take L goes to very small. So this distinction between A and B is very clear. We are always looking at the very small region.
So even in the thermodynamics, when A and B both go to infinity, if you're in B, the larger region, you cannot have thermodynamics.
So that's just another apply if you apply to B. Because delta U will be infinite.
Even
though delta SB is the same.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, to use this formula, we assume that we just focus on smaller region. So you have A and B, then we cannot use this formula for B. B larger one.
Corrections to that limit?
I'll come back to this later, but yeah, that's a good question, yeah. But we are only taking this particular limit while looking at this small subsystem. Yeah. So this particular result. So this relation has some proportionality of some coefficient. And this coefficient, interesting thing, this coefficient turns out to be universal. It looks like always take this form. See, some constant, numerical constant divided by L. L is at this small size of the system. And C only depends on the shape of this subsystem A. So if we take round sphere, we have very simple result. D plus D is the dimension, D plus 2 over 2 pi. But if you take some elliptic or more complicated, then you get a different result. But anyway, this C doesn't depend on the theory or rank of gauge group or some coupling constant and so on. It's really numerical constant.
I'm sorry. Hmm. If you take this temperature, C over L, it means that the entropy is extensive. So the energy, delta.
No, I don't think so.
Is proportional to the size.
Delta EA is always extensive in that right. sense. And but SA is not. SA is not.
It's not. But then you multiply it by 1 over L, and you can equate it to the energy.
Equate it to the energy.
To the delta.
Yeah.
So this means that the energy.
Yeah, the only dimension agree with each other. But.
So how does delta?
I should say it in that way. So here, usually we have some volume, right? Extensive, it's proper volume, and also temperature. But they scale the same way here. Temperature also same as length scale, and volume scale the same way. Right? So many things are degenerate in this way.
Delta E goes as L to the D, is that correct?
Delta is L to D, yeah, that's right.
And delta S?
Delta S is, just you can see from here. It's just D plus 1, L to D plus 1, L to D plus 1.
L to D plus
1. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's nothing related to the area of here. It's just a sub-reading collection.
If you move ahead a little bit more, hold your question for the next 5 minutes.
Sorry, only 5 minutes. Okay. Okay. So we can confirm this result by looking at some express calculation. For example, we can consider some 2D CFT and where these Spanish people compute this correction, so this entanglement entropy, in the presence of some insertion of primary operators. This H is a conformal dimension of some primary operator. We insert this operator in some system, and we excite the vacuum into this primary operator, then the correction is given by this. This just comes from conformal Hilbert calculation, and this precisely agrees with what we expect from this argument. Probably, yeah. First correction doesn't depend on the region where you put this operator. In my understanding, yeah. My second example is a finite temperature case. Then, so if we take a small radius, small size limit, we introduce previous one. It's just holographic calculation, just this of C over L. And if we take larger L, then it approaches this standard temperature, thermodynamical temperature. So this interpolated is between two. Also, our claim is that the following thing. So this is also related to Brian's point. We assume translational invariant and time independent excited state up to here. So and in a given system, and we assume this condition is a small energy or a small subsystem. And satisfied, always we should satisfy this condition, then delta SA and delta EA is proportional to each other up to this constant, which we call some sort of entanglement temperature, some effective temperature, but which is actually geometrical thing. C over L is just the size of subsystem. And if we look at more general quantum critical points, like some dynamical exponent z, we can extend this result in this way. And anyway, so the ADS-CFT predicts that there is some, this C is a universal value for strongly coupled large and gauge theory.
Is the inelastic or dephasing length larger than little l, smaller than little l, or equal to little l?
I missed your point.
Inelastic or dephasing length?
Dephasing?
Free fermion.
Yeah, it's still true, I think. Yeah, free fermion. In 2D CFT, that is true. 2D, yeah, so 2D, even weakly coupled theory, this is true. This is just come from Virasoro symmetry of conformal field theory. So this can be applicable to.
Much smaller than the dephasing length. Yeah, dephasing length, you're talking about now the temperature, and you want more.
I see. Thank you very much. See you. And so far we are translational invariant static space time, but especially if we particular choice of subsystem A, which is a round ball, which is just a symmetric sphere, boundary of A is just a symmetric sphere, then we actually recently confirmed this condition, this relation is actually true, even in the presence of time dependent fluctuation or some inhomogeneous perturbations. But the other case, I don't think so. So we need this condition for more generic subsystem. So anyway, so this is a claim. So I'd like to also go a little bit more. So we should ask what happens when this subsystem A is not so small. This is related to the question asked. And so that case, we don't actually, unfortunately, we don't expect any nice universal result. But this is still very important question because of this following relation between ADS-CFT correspondence. So gravity in ADS is written in terms of metric in a classical limit. And this entanglement as a critical point is characterized by this entanglement entropy and related to area. And so metric satisfies Einstein equation. So the natural equation, what is counterpart here? So what kind of equation does this entanglement entropy satisfy? So that is a question I asked here. But this is quite actually a hard question, but I'd like to give some modest development in this direction. So in ADS-CFT, the metric is not a good variable from the CFT viewpoint, because it changes under the coordinate transformation, or not gauging invariant quantity. So we should look at some diffeomorphism invariant quantity. The natural choice is this entanglement entropy, holographic entanglement entropy. This is just area, so it's really invariant under coordinate transformation. So we'd like to look at, we'd like to rewrite this Einstein equation in terms of this entanglement entropy. So this is what we'd like to do. But this is quite a technically hard question. So to make this calculation simple, we'd like to consider some small perturbation around anti-Dositta space-time, PLADS, and analyze this increased amount of this entanglement entropy. So this is what we did. But even still, this calculation is quite hard. I just give a few examples of the result, which we get nice result. So other case, I should say result is not so simple. So I don't want to present it here. So I'd like to look at a very simple example, which is ADS-3 and CFT-2. So the simplest example is a pure gravity theory on ADS-3 space-time. Then we can show that just using Einstein equation for ADS-3, from that we can show this delta SA satisfy these two equations. First one is just simple wave equation. And second one is more interesting. This looks like some sort of wave function, wave equation on anti-Dositta space-time. So because of the presence of this part. If we don't have this one, this is just wave equation on flat space. But because of this factor, it's like wave equation in ADS space-time. And we can make a more complicated situation so that we put some matter fields coupled to gravity. So Einstein scalar theory, for example, then this kind of equation is modified by some bilinear of this expectation value of scalar operator, which is dual to this scalar field in ADS-CFT correspondence. It's quite a complicated function appears. So, and another example is a higher dimension in ADS-4 CFT-3. This corresponds to two-dimensional quantum critical point. Then we manage to derive this simple equation. So previously we have two equations, but this is because ADS-3 is very special. In three dimensions, we don't have any propagating degree of freedom gravitons. So we have extra constraint. But in higher dimension, the gravitational wave is propagating and we just one equation, which looks like wave equation, again, wave equation in anti-Dositta space-time, but we have some additional term, which is related to energy stress tensor in the dual conformal field theory.
Very small L or any L?
Any L, yeah. But we assume that translational invariant vacuum. So this is a crucial assumption. If we get rid of this assumption, we get more and more complicated equation.
So you cannot.
But this is a perturbative calculation.
No horizon.
Yeah, that's good. If we take into account nonlinear, it's much more complicated. So we don't have any nice. So also notice that this is something, maybe looks something new, but actually delta SA is related to this quantity by using this first law relation.
So the F-dependent
not here, because we assume translational invariant, yeah.
So this is
to first order in TP?
The second one.
To the stress tensor. Is there a higher order term in stress tensor on the right hand side? Is it conservative?
Okay. So if we take the back, more back reaction, nonlinear order, probably you have. You're right, I think. Right. We get the more nonlinear. Yeah, it's a really most simplest leading order of this perturbation theory. Exactly. But anyway, so this entanglement and follow this dynamics of entanglement follow this wave equation.
I'm sorry, I don't understand the logical problem, but what are you varying? So you should write this equation, you're trying to rewrite Einstein's equations in terms of the,
yeah,
the minimal
sort of, right.
Right.
You're varying the metric. And computing. So we vary the metric and compute this minimal area variation. Minimal area is slightly shifted, right, from the ground state result. So we just rewrite this in terms of this equation.
Actually, what is the parameter to surprise the higher order correction?
Suppress.
So what is the maintenance parameter?
That's a good question. That's probably T itself, I think. T itself is very small. This T itself, it should be very small.
Yeah, but that's a dimensional
quantity. L.
Related to L. So you want L to be small
too? Yeah.
You want L to
be small? Let's see.
Okay.
Okay, so I just finally just quickly mention this some new quantity we introduced and we call it entanglement density. But this is this can be derived from entanglement entropy. The information itself is the same. But so we are naively assume some entanglement entropy consists of sum over each small entanglement between two points, with this point and the sum over all of them, and then we get this entanglement entropy. This is just a naive assumption. We don't need to justify this. But anyway, so assuming this relation, then if you take the two derivative twice about two endpoints of this subsystem A, and then we get some quantity which we call entanglement density. And the good point of this quantity is this is guaranteed to be positive because of this strong subadditive relation. So this is always positive, so it is quite natural to call this some density. And also another interesting point of this entanglement density comes from this first law relation. And the previous first law is actually written in this way. This energy is equal to delta SA up to some temperature. And then, so if you take some limit, L goes to zero limit, this is true only for L goes to zero limit. And we especially look at this delta N. This is a shifted amount of this entanglement density. Actually, this is proportional to the energy density. So in that sense, this entanglement density, which we introduced here, is some natural generalization of just energy density. So I think maybe this is quite interesting.
It's not an analog entropy density.
No. It's just energy density. Somehow. And we can also confirm this conservation law. Delta S n is increased amount of entanglement density compared with ground state. If we take integral about this both endpoints, then it sum up to be zero. So there are some rule which comes from this simple reason, which we know very well, and also first law. And so we can one interesting example to test this to use this idea is to look at some local quench, which is we constructed some holographic local quench. Local quench means we just excite some particular region, suddenly excite some region. Especially often people think about some joint procedure of two, semi-infinite lines, spin chain, and joint, and we excite this. Well, here we just consider some one infinite chain and excite it at some point. And this is dual, we argue it's dual to just falling particle in AD space-time. So this has a mass and this has a, you know, excitation. And it's in the end, after time evolution, it goes to infrared. So the, if you calculate, we can compute this time dependence of this entanglement entropy. When this particle passes through, this is a minimal surface, and this is an entangling region, which defines entanglement entropy. But it's hit at this point, it hits the minimal surface, then we have some peak of this entanglement entropy. And also, if we choose subsystem to be very large, in one half infinite, then we can find this analytical formula in 1 plus 1 dimensional case, which log T and log L appears, and which is very similar to the result in 2D CFT worked by Calabrese and Cardi in a local quench calculation, which really joined to endpoints. And they got a very similar result, but coefficient is different. But this difference comes from just different, you know, setup of our systems, and naturally interpreted by using, for example, tensor network understanding and so on. And this is my final transparency. So we just plotted the entanglement density in a numerical calculation. So this is a, we fix time equals 0. And this is a trajectory of these massive particles, actually. And x is a, so x is a, this space direction. And so first, at t equals 0, we have very large energy, which is localized at x equals 0. And then we have some time evolution, which propagates at the speed of light. And then we have some entangled pair, because we have two energy, you know, localized, and two regions where energy is localized, and they are actually entangled together. So this entangled nature can be captured by calculating this entanglement density. So there is a peak here. This peak means that t equals 0 here. So this part is highly entangled. But there are some small, some small peak here. So that means there are some small amount of entanglement between slightly separated regions. In this way, so this, if we use this entanglement density, we can extract how the system is entangled with each other in a rather local, somehow little local way. So this is end of my talk, and I'd like to summarize conclusion here. Thank you very much. But if you really excite a system quite a lot, then it is generically volume law. But my calculation assumes very small amount of excitation, so we don't encounter this volume law.
So the second question is, do you see how if I, given a pure state, so I don't want to consider a thermal ensemble, do you see how in ABS CFT it would be possible to have a volume law along with SA equal to SB?
Okay. Yeah, I see. So I mean, if we look at the finite part of this entanglement entropy in the black hole background, that is really proportional to the horizon, area of horizon. Right? This, I'm talking about this. So I'm talking about this. This is proportional to the, you know, area, and this is extensive result from the viewpoint of CFT. And especially if we really assume this boundary is really approaching AdS boundary, it becomes UV divergent. This situation is extensive. And if the black hole collapses in the initial time, and we start from pure state, that means just a gravitational wave, and collapsing and making black hole, if we consider this kind of process, it's always total entanglement, at total entropy, Hondonmann entropy should be 0. Because at the early time, we have nothing black hole, no black hole horizon, and everything should be unitary. So total entropy is 0, that means pure state. But still, we have this kind of result, which is really extensive.
But is it extensive in the area or in the volume?
Volume.
Okay, so then I think the question was, if you have extensivity in the volume and your regions A and B are different volumes, then how, and SA equals SB, then I don't know how to think about SA and SB in terms of thermodynamic entropy. Maybe they have nothing to do with them.
Okay, but I'm sorry, that is very excellent, but I didn't say it, but I'm looking at a region which is smaller than the total system. So we are assuming A is smaller than total system, much smaller than total system, then this extensivity only applies to A.
Okay, so inside A, it would look thermal? Inside A, it would look thermal?
I mean, Yeah, okay. So this outer looks like summer,
so
but it's actually
B,
pure state.
Which is much bigger than A, but they're both in the finite limit, and we've not got local thermodynamics coming out. Is that right?
Yeah. I agree. We'll look at the smaller one.
It's all here in these pictures. So if you're at zero temperature in a pure state, then SA equals SV, and there's one common boundary. The other limit is if you're thermal equilibrium at finite temperature, then SA is not equal to SV. And SA is equal to this.
Yeah, that's right. I totally agree. But anyway, this is just formal similarity. That's what I, yeah, originally we expect something like that, but for large L, you mean large L, we don't get the universal results. I agree.
Sorry, so to confirm, so you write down
this
wave equation, but it's not
universal.
So in gravity side, I can consider some kind of perturbation with probability in from the
UV
to IR. What does that
correspond to in the boundary theory? Boundary theory is a propagation wave of entanglement in
from
other things.
Small scale to large scale.
It's, if you look at, for example, this MeLA tensor network distribution, you can explicitly see this.
So you're creating some local perturbation and then it's creating
some. Right. I think so.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Well, actually, I have a question about this temperature that scales like inversely with the size in some sense. So you think from temperature that it should be, and that's a quantity, but obviously this is not the case here. So, but is that actually clarifying what Matthew was asking? That indeed, the larger your kind of system, the lower the temperature is, and therefore somehow the fact that you're not in air anymore. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, probably, I think, yeah, but for large L, yeah, it is really the state is anyway zero, very close to zero temperature. We don't get any thermodynamic result. So that's, we got a different result anyway.
The first thing, if you want to make this
Yeah. Maybe that, here I'm just call this a first law. It's just a mathematical similarity, I should say. I'm not anything about, talking about anything with thermodynamic zeroth law or third law or second law. I only look at the first law, that is just the equation. And there are no idea of this equilibrium and so on, I should say.